Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
If you just judged our church off this service alone, you would think the future was female. However, we do believe the future is male and female. Yes. go ahead and grab your seats. We had a great week. We had a great Cherish week. And I want to thank you, our church family, and everybody who helped make it an incredible week. About 2 years ago, when the first Women's March happened in Washington, D.C., I was just determined that that wouldn't be the final voice and the final say of how women were represented in the United States. And I realize that may be a controversial comment, but at almost 44, I just care less and less about potentially offending people. I just feel like the truth needs to be said. And I don't say that to shock or be controversial, but honestly, I've just seen the fallout of when that lie goes uncontested, when that image is elevated and it's elevated as the image that women are meant to aspire to. And it's conflicting and confusing for the generation coming up underneath us. And I think God gave us a beautiful image in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. He talks about the woman and he said, strength and honor shall be her clothing. Yeah. You know, I truly believe that God did not create women to be shocking, but captivating. Yeah. And at C3 San Diego, we are raising a generation of captivating women because we are the finale of creation after all, right? I said the first service, when God created man, man was his first try at making a human. It's his first try. It was like playing around in the dust and the dirt and a man popped out. And he's like, oh, that's good, but something's missing. Not really. Not really. He never said that. But how beautiful. It was like he created man and then he's like, yep, that's good. And then he created woman and then he's like, my work is done. Drop the mic. The finale of creation. Oh, all right. Okay, we're going to have some fun this morning. Thank you, friends, for always serving us so beautifully. We love you. All right, I'm going to tell a bit of a story. I wrote a story. I'm going to read you a bit of a monologue. How many people are familiar with the term satire? It's where sarcasm, comedy, and truth collide. So I'm going to just read a story that I wrote about a little incident that I had. And in case you actually think I am this shallow, I'm not. I'm just trying to make a point. I'm being like Jesus with the parables, okay? Except maybe not as holy. Okay. You ready? You ready on live stream? Good. Like all good things, this story begins in Nordstrom's. The word was out, and now the chatter was all about the new Nordstrom store. Women from every creed, culture, and generation gathered with expectant, childlike excitement to talk together about the flagship Nordstrom store that was about to replace the smaller store that had served the community for decades in their overpriced shopping needs. It will be beautiful, modern, cool. More brands, more space, larger and less cringeworthy change rooms, more personalized service. Come to the grand opening, they said. It will be epic, they said. The biggest Nordstrom in the USA, they said. You will love it, they said. The big day came, crowds and crowds of people all clamoring to be part of the new shiny thing. Neon signs were flashing. Credit cards were swiping. Tiny dogs in tiny bags were yapping. and children throwing tantrums were threatened with timeouts that we all knew would never come. But where were the old familiar faces? The associates that I knew, the associates that knew me? Where were the familiar change rooms? I had finally come to terms with the unforgiving fluorescent lighting, making peace with my flaws as I was forced to face them time and time again. But now the dim lighting and softened mirrors felt like a lie. Did my butt look big in that? In the new Nordstrom's, I would never truly know. The old store that I could have navigated myself around blindfolded now felt foreign to me. Now it was just a big, cold, empty, perfectly decorated tomb, full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness, with crowds of people but no heartbeat. Previously, I represented a friend come home. Now all I saw were dollar signs in their cold, dead eyes. I was no friend. I was a means to a very selfish end. And if I didn't spend my money, then honey, step aside, because there are thousands of others that can replace you. I felt lost, unwanted, unneeded. I felt like I didn't belong. I turned to my husband and, choking back a sob, I said, let's go. Yes, they had all the bells and whistles, all the shiny new toys, but they had lost their human touch. I was just another face in the crowd. Maybe I should start shopping at Macy's. Go ahead, applaud. That took me like half a day. All right, I put that monologue together for this reason. This has been how many Americans feel when they come to church. They feel like they're attending churches that love crowds but aren't too fond of people. They feel like they're wanted and needed for their resource, their tithe, their service, but they're not truly cared about. And I would have to say that in some churches that has been the truth. In Jeremiah chapter number 23, we see that God prophesies through the prophet Jeremiah this. He says, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done. Somebody say, uh-oh. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. All right. The title of my message today in the Honey, I Shrunk the Church series, which is all about the importance of connect groups, is go. The return of the shepherds. Woo! And you know what? I am actually changing the title right now. The guys up the back don't even know. It's going to be Return to the Shepherds. Because I've actually preached a message similar to this before, and I preached it to our leadership team and our Connect group leaders, but I really felt to preach it to the entire church. But it's not so much the return of the shepherds as it is, in this context, a return to the shepherds. Because you can't be shepherded unless you can be present and accounted for. And many of us have been living off a bad church experience where, just like I had in Nordstrom's, we felt just like a means to a very selfish end. Wow. We want your service, we want your tithe, we want your money, honey, we want your blood, sweat and tears, but we don't really care about you. You know what? Well, we are not that kind of church. And maybe you've come today with a little bit of residue and a little bit of baggage of what happened to you in the past. And I want to tell you today, it's time to return to the shepherds. There are some really great churches out there. Don't let bad experiences stop you from being part of the family of God. So today we're going to talk about the importance of a connect group under the guise of returning to the shepherds. And I believe this message is a forecast of the future and a message of what I believe God is wanting to restore in his church globally. We see that Jesus had a really important conversation with Peter before he ascended to heaven. So Jesus came back from hell, from the dead, after, you know, making everything right again. And the Bible says that he appeared to his disciples three times. And then he met them on the beach and he started cooking them breakfast. And how many people know or remember where Jesus had a conversation with Peter and he said to him, "Peter, you are the rock on which I'm going to build my church." Okay, so he kind of prophesied and set him up as a future church leader. So I believe that Jesus was wanting to make sure that Peter had kept the main thing the main thing. Yeah. So he's cooking him breakfast. Okay, he's got his frying pan out there. He's sizzling up some yummy fish and he's got it all going on. And because Jesus is smart, he knows if you want to tell somebody an eternal truth, you need to do it over dinner. You need to soften them up with a good old meal. Wives of America, take note. And so he's cooking away and he says to him, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" Talking about the disciples. And Peter's like, "Oh Lord, yeah, of course. I mean, have you met the other guys? They're pretty flippin' annoying. You are easy to love in comparison to them." And then he goes on and he says, "Well, if you love me, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep." And then he asks him again, he repeated the question and he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know that I love you." He said, "Well, then take care of my sheep." And then a third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And then Peter was hurt that Jesus had to ask the same question three different times. And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And then Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Jesus is making sure that Peter, who is about to launch to be one of the greatest pastors of all time, kept the main thing, the main thing. Church is not about structures or systems or quotas or numbers. It's about people. And Peter, I want you to remember that. And you know what the really comforting thing is? Is that we read later in the book of 1 Peter where Peter himself is talking to the elders over the church and we see that this conversation moved to a revelation that then became a transformation. And then he speaks to those who he's overseeing and he said, "Be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you." Ooh. Selah, pause and think about that. And I realize I'm preaching to myself and I like it. But be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, and I love that. I love that Peter refers to Jesus as the chief shepherd, not the chief leader. And in church, it's a great word. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. But you know what I've realized? Not all leaders know how to shepherd, but every good shepherd knows how to lead. The focus in the church has to be pastoring because God cares about his kids. And you know, I know here at C3 San Diego, we are meticulous with money. Meticulous. We want to make sure that we give zero reason for anybody to think anything negative about the way we deal with finance. We get yearly audits. We have a finance team devoted to making sure we are meticulous with every dollar because it's God's money given by his faithful servants, in many cases who are giving sacrificially. We have to be good stewards. But you know what's more important than money? People. Yes. Listen, if you lose my money, I'm going to be mad. But if you lose my kid, I'm never going to forgive you. Money comes and money goes, baby, but humans are irreplaceable. And so that's why at C3 Church, we're having a series called Honey, I Shrunk the Church, because we want you to be in a place where we can properly care for you. Be good shepherds over the flock. How do we do that in a church this size? And I've heard many people say, Well, listen, I just want to go to a small church where I know the pastor and the pastor knows me and that's how it should be. Well, yeah, okay, well, that makes sense. However, if it's a healthy church, it's going to get big. Yeah. When Pastor Jürgen and I started this church, we weren't thinking numbers. We were thinking people. And because we had the right thing in the right place, it grew. We weren't even trying and it grew. Here's the thing about health. Healthy things grow. So what happens when you go to that small church and you know the pastor and all of a sudden it gets big because it's healthy? You're going to kick people out? Oh, sorry, 50 people is my maximum. No, you know what you do? You recruit other shepherds. It's time for us to return to the shepherds. And for some people that can be hard and they can resent it because it means they have less access to the actual senior pastor. But here's the thing about us humans. We're not omnipresent like the Lord. We can't be everywhere at once. So if we're to be good shepherds, then we need to be good at recruiting other shepherds. Yes. That's why you'll find at C3 San Diego, we're always ordaining people. do they always have Bible college degrees? No. Thank God sometimes. Yeah. They can be the most uptight individuals. You know how I became a pastor? I served, hung in there, and didn't do too many things wrong. If you hang in there long enough, we'll make you a pastor too. We need more. We need more shepherds. So a good shepherd is going to recruit other shepherds. It's time for us to return to the shepherds. We hear the lie people cannot be properly discipled in a big church. Lies! That only happens if we're not intentional about recruiting other shepherds and creating something called a small group or a connect group or a care group or some kind of place where you can be properly looked after. We need to be recruiting other shepherds. Okay, so we look at this. You don't even need to go past the story of Moses to see that one man cannot do it alone. God bless him, he tried. But it got so excruciatingly burdensome that he was suicidal. That tells us in the book of Numbers that Moses had a conversation with God and he said, I can't carry all these people by myself. The load is far too heavy. And how many people have ever been in churches where you've seen the pastor go through something like this because he thought maybe he had the man of God syndrome where he wanted all the glory on him, or perhaps he just didn't realize that, you know, God had given him the ability to multiply. The load is far too heavy. If this is how you intend to treat me, just go ahead and kill me. I love how honest the Bible is. Do me a favor and spare me this misery. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather before me 70 men who are recognized as elders and leaders of Israel. Bring them to the church to stand there with you. I will come down and talk to you there. I will take some of the spirit that is upon you, Moses, and I will put the spirit upon them also. And they will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone. Why is it important that we recruit shepherds? Because you matter to God and we want to care for you properly. And we also don't want to burn out one man or one woman. We see that even Jesus identified this problem. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 9, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion because he looked out at the multitudes who had gathered to hear his teaching. But he said they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So it wasn't a lack of teaching. It wasn't even a lack of crowds or people. It was a lack of shepherds. So it's interesting. All these people are hearing the Lord's teaching, yet they're harassed and helpless because what was missing was shepherds, people to come alongside. Jesus understood that, you know, while he was in a man's body, he could only care for so many people at once. He had 12 people that pretty much stayed true, and yet multitudes heard his teaching. Why did those 12 stay true? Because of relationship. Because they had a little connect group, Jesus and his homeboys, Jesus and his disciples. And you know what? There's a group like that for you here at C3 San Diego. Because the enemy will try to get it so you're isolated, but how many people know that it's the wolf that comes after the isolated sheep, the most vulnerable? We want to get you in a place where you can be properly cared for, and that means that we need to recruit other shepherds, pastors, lay pastors, connect groups. I mean, I think about my first experience in a connect group. I was 12 years of age and I went to a connect group, and I still remember my connect group leader's name, Peter McDonald. I'll never forget him. You know, it's so important that we get in these environments where we can ask questions, Because it would kind of be weird if you put your hand up and said, oh, excuse me, Pastor Leanne, I have a question. I mean, I would probably answer it, but however, it's not usually the done thing. That's why we have connect groups. That's why we have connect groups. So when you have those burning questions, when you've got that thing, that itch that just needs to be scratched, and I don't understand the why by the what, the what behind the why, or vice versa, I can have a conversation with someone that can bring me into a place of understanding. Yeah. Peter McDonald was that for me. I tell you what, he answered all my questions as a young Christian and even baptized me at the age of 13. I'll never forget him. And one of the reasons I really love Peter, let me tell you and be honest with you, it's because he introduced me to Carmen. Carmen the champion, Carmen. I didn't even know who he was. Okay, so this is not getting the response. I mean, look, I'm sorry. American Christians, stand up and be counted. How many people know who Carmen is? The rest of you, your homework is to go home and Google it. I can't believe you've lived this long as a Christian not knowing the resurrection rap, Addicted to Jesus, the champion. I mean, he made Christian music videos cool. Pastor Jürgen and I starred in our own rendition of the champion. We did it at the church youth group Talent Quest. I was the devil, right? Yeah. And Jürgen was Jesus in like a role reversal. I was the bad guy and he was the... In the vast expanse of a timeless place where silence ruled the outer space, ominously towering it stood, the symbol of a spirit war between the one named Lucifer and the morning star, the ultimate of good. Oh yeah. Enveloped by a trillion planets, clean as lightning and hard as granite. Yeah, I could keep going, I won't, but I could. This is the why. Imagine living life without Carmen. Thank you, Peter McDonald. Thank you, Connect Groups. Friends, it is time to return to the shepherds. Stand up and be counted. Well, what happens in Connect Groups? Well, in Connect Groups, a good shepherd will tend the sheep. Remember, God prophesied through Jeremiah, shepherds who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified. Friends, in order to be tended, and the word tended means to be paid attention to or to be attentive to, you have to be present. You have to be present. Pastor Becky was telling me about a story the other day. She was just on Facebook and someone mentioning our church, C3 San Diego, and someone sent her a message saying, oh, C3 San Diego, that church that only cares about some people. I mean, if you're going to ask that question and you really don't want a response, please don't send it to Pastor Becky. I mean, she's going to answer you. And so she does the digging to find out this person had kind of drifted in and out of our church, but was never really part of a connect group, really never part of a volunteer team, but somehow wanted us to be present, willing and able to solve the problem when it surfaced, even though we didn't know about it. And a lot of people judge churches for things that they don't know about because you weren't present and you weren't engaged and you weren't involved. And I wish this sounded nicer, but again, almost 44. I just need to tell it like it is. Why does it look like some people are cared for more than others? Because some people are more present and ingrained and involved in the family of God than other people are. It's time for us to return to the shepherds. Allow yourself to be shepherded. We cannot shepherd people that are not present. You can tell a good shepherd because they'll smell like sheep. And if you want to ask me today, what does it take to become a pastor or a leader at C3 Church? Oh, you got to smell like some sheep. You may even have a little bit of sheep poop on you because sheep are known for pooping. And good shepherds are willing to get a little bit messy. I love our Pastor Becky. Long before she was a pastor, she was a pastor. She was a good shepherd. I remember being at a kid's party with her, and one of our friends was wearing white jeans and sat on a chocolate bar and didn't know it. And so they stood up, and I mean, it was a nightmare. And I remember looking at that chocolate-covered butt and being so overwhelmed and in shock, not wanting to approach said person. And Becky, I mean, she is like the shepherd warrior. She grabbed baby wipes and she ran. She ran to the scene of the crime and she got all up in there to make sure that her friend's dignity was saved. And I remember looking, and I remind her of this story all the time. And I tell her, this is gospel truth, right? I tell her, Becky, that was the day I knew you would be a great pastor because you're not afraid to get messy. So if you want to know what the pathway to leadership here is at C3 San Diego, you've got to smell like sheep. I don't care if you know the Bible backwards to front. You're telling me you don't know it if you can't wipe chocolate off somebody's butt. Good shepherds smell like sheep. I love our Tom Foster, one of the pastors here. Again, doesn't have a Bible college degree, but I tell you, a day does not go past where we do not get a text from him telling us about some miracle story he's had with an ex-gang member who came to church all messed up and now they're baptized in the Holy Ghost and living for Jesus. And this morning we got a text about a church member who is in hospital. Can we all join together and pray? I'm like, yes, good shepherds smell like sheep. That is the pathway to leadership here. But if you want that kind of care, then you have to allow yourself to be shepherded. Don't let former experiences stop you from enjoying what it means to be part of the family of God. Listen, I say it all the time. Church should not be a place that you attend. It should be a family that you belong to. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. It's worth saying this too. Part of being tended means that we will protect against predators. Now, I don't have a college education, but I do a lot of thinking. And I just think some of the losses in the average church are appalling because we have not properly guarded the sheep. And I have a mixed love-hate relationship with those signs that people say, you know, come one, come all welcome here. Like, come to church, I'll sit with you. And like, I get it, it's good. But then the shepherd part of me is like, is everybody welcome? Because I've got to tell you, I couldn't honestly say that we are a strictly inclusive church. And I say that with the heart of a shepherd. If you come with predatory intent and have absolutely no desire to change or repent, then you will exclude yourself. You will not be able to stay. If you come to manipulate, take advantage of, extort, rob, steal, or have evil agenda, and when you're confronted, you do not repent with true repentance, you know what? You're not going to be allowed to stay. Because we're going to protect the other sheep. We're not going to let one person come in and corrupt and bring toxicity and bring division and hurt the most vulnerable. We're going to protect our sheep against predatory wolves. We'll give you every possible chance, believe me. However, if at the end there is not repentance, we have asked people to leave and we will continue to do so because a good shepherd protects the sheep. And in case you need a scripture, and I'm sure you do, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 11 to 13, this: but I am saying that you shouldn't act as if everything is just fine when one of your Christian companions is promiscuous or crooked, is flip with God, rude to friends, gets drunk, or becomes greedy, and most importantly, predatory. Wow. You just can't go along with this, treating it as if it's acceptable behavior. I'm not responsible for what the outsiders, what the world does. The world is always going to be the world. But don't we have some responsibility for those within our community of believers? God decides on the outsiders and the world. It is not our job to judge the world. But we need to decide when our brothers and sisters are out of line and, if necessary, clean house. A good shepherd knows what it means to clean house when it's important for the benefit of the body. All right, go on. Somebody needs to clap that one. Likewise, good shepherds, part of tending is good shepherds will keep a watchful eye out for poisonous plants. So the job of a shepherd was to let the sheep forage in places where they could be sustained with good food. But the shepherd would also need to be mindful of what those sheep were feeding on. And you know, I remember about 10 years ago, there was it was almost like an outpouring, a demonic outpouring of something called universalism. The theory that you didn't need to accept Jesus to go to heaven. You know, at the end of the day, you know what, everybody was going to heaven because God was all loving. And the truth is, God doesn't send people to hell. Not at all. In fact, the good news of the gospel is you don't have to go to hell. You don't need to go there. It's not for you. It wasn't created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. You don't need to go there. But you have to make a choice. Do I want to accept Jesus or reject him? And at the end of the day, if you reject him, you're going to get the one thing at the end of your life that you chose, life without God. What is hell? It's life without God. Okay, so this whole universalism theory was, you know what? No, we're all going to go. God was just joking. And it got so many people deceived. We had people leave our church, and many people around the world left churches, and many of them are not even Christians today. When you put yourself in a connect group, you are putting yourself around a good shepherd who will say to you, you know what, don't feed on that. Stop eating that, it'll make you sick. And we need to be humble enough to come to a place where we give somebody else the authority to speak into our lives and show us things that we may not be able to see with our own eyes. Look, I don't know what I don't know. And I need somebody smarter than me, wiser than me, older than me to tell me what I cannot see for myself. Put that down, that'll make you sick. Stop eating that. Feed on good things. And you'll find at C3 San Diego, we're going to put as overseers over our connect groups, our lay pastors, our pastors, people that will lead you into good pastures. Good food, the gospel of faith, hope, and love. We won't let you stay miserable and hopeless at C3 Church. Oh, try as you might. We're going to put faith on the inside of you. We're going to believe God with you for more. We're going to ask you to shift your dish to the All Things Are Possible network. We are determined that you won't stay miserable and sorrowful and grief-stricken long at C3 San Diego. We're going to believe God for you to live bigger, dream larger, and trust him with every part and fiber of your being. This is what a good shepherd is. They'll lead you beside still waters. Your cup will run over. Amen. That was good. All right. I was blessed, but I'll drink to that. I was personally blessed. Okay. Finally, I want to talk about a culture we never want to lose at our church. We never want to lose as shepherds over God's flock. And that is seeking for those who are lost. In the prophetic word from Jeremiah, God prophesies and he says, not one of them will be missing. And that takes some intent on behalf of the shepherds. And the truth is we're all shepherding someone, or at least we should be. And Jesus holds up in the book of Matthew, chapter number 18, the man who leaves the 99 sheep to go after the one as the ideal example. And many of us would say, yes, let's go out and get the lost sheep. But sometimes in churches, we only talk about one kind of lost sheep, the sheep that have never been part of God's family, the ones that have never heard the gospel. But what about the ones that have strayed? What about the ones who once were part of God's flock but no longer are? I mean, the amazing thing about this story is most of us would look at a crowd of 99 and go, it's 100. It's close enough. Yeah, it's close enough if the one missing isn't your kid. It's close enough. No, yeah, it looks like 100. You know what? Jesus was so intentional about making the gospel not about numbers, but about names. The one way to lose the true heart of the Father is to replace a name with a number. The Bible says that he knows his sheep by name. God's love, our good shepherd, individualizes. That's why one of my personal pet peeves as a pastor is this statement: it's not about you. I just think that is the most egregious lie. I mean, I kind of understand what they're saying, like, don't be selfish, but why not just say, don't be selfish? Because Jesus made the gospel personal. He made it about you. Even as far back as creation, we see God, when he is creating the earth, he's speaking, speaking, speaking. And then all of a sudden, when it comes to creating man, the Bible says, and then God formed man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. When it came to creating you and me, he stopped speaking and he started forming. Wow. The personal touch. God touching his creation up close and personal. It is about you. Oh my gosh, it's always been about you. You matter to God. You are not a number in a seat. You are a precious name. It is not numbers written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's names. Jesus knows your name today. He knows your name, and he goes after the lost sheep, the sheep that were lost because they've always been lost or they've wandered off, and even the sheep who were lost because of somebody else's abuse, neglect, or carelessness. I want you to know today, your good shepherd knows how to find you. And I never, ever want to lose that culture at C3 Church. Oh, they left because they're offended. Hello? All of us get offended. I was offended at something yesterday. I can't even remember what it was, but it happens. To be offended is human. Like, we're going to discard people. Oh, they got offended. Just leave them to the wolves. Well, go find them and see if you can talk them off the offense ledge. Maybe there needs to be an apology. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Pastor Jürgen and I have had to sit down with leaders or people that have left when we've realized there was an egregious error on our behalf. There was some kind of neglect. And literally looked in their eyes and said, it should not have been handled that way. We're sorry. We're sorry. Hey, you may feel like you can't come back to our church, but go somewhere. Don't let this thing pull you out of church altogether. Go after the ones that are lost. I love the story of Abraham. Oh my gosh, he was a boss. Not only did he get to talk to God, like God had actual conversations with him. I love it when we hear about the story of Lot. So we hear about the story of Lot. And most of us will say, well, because Lot gets captured, okay? He's hanging around with a wrong crowd. You know, it's a classic scene. He's hanging around with a wrong crowd. And he gets captured and he gets dragged off. And Abraham's like, oh, no, you didn't. He's like, we go after lost things in this house. And so the Bible says that he got together 318, I believe. Let me see. Yes, 318 of men trained in his house, and they went back and they said, you know what? We're taking back what belongs to us. We're going after this lost sheep. Now, he could have said, you know what? Lot chose Sodom. Oh, he's reaping what he sowed. Do you remember when he had the option and we stood in front of the two pieces of land and Lot chose for himself the well-watered plains of Sodom? Sucked in, Lot. Sucks to be you. You chose wrong. No, not one bit of judgment extended at this man. Instead, Abraham gets up and he goes, not today, devil. And he goes back and he rescues Lot, his family, his wife, his possessions, and brings them all back home. I believe that is the culture that God is wanting to restore in his church. To seek for those who are lost. Lost sheep keep me up at night. Where are they? And you know, when I stand up here, I'm not just looking with the eyes of a human. I'm looking with the eyes of a shepherd. And I'm going to tell you, I notice. I notice when you move from the front to the back. I notice when your countenance changes. I notice when you're sitting with your arms folded with a sour look on your face. I notice when you're burdened. I notice when you come off a team. I notice when you look wearied. I notice when you don't show up for a month or 2 months and then we don't see you all together. And I've got to tell you, it keeps me up at night. And I ask questions of my overseers. Where is this one? Where is that one? I remember a man in our church, he got so radically saved and he joined the usher team and we'd run out of high shirts, okay? Because they had a budget freeze or something lame. So we couldn't get any more, right? So he made his own high shirt. I mean, I know. so cute, so sweet. Imagine being so in and so in love with the vision and everything that's happening here that you go to all the trouble to make your own high shirt. You know what I've realized? People don't care about the vision unless the vision cares about them. Yes. They don't. They really don't. You can talk vision all day long, but if people come in here and they're just a tithe check, just a means to a selfish end, just service on a team, and they're irreplaceable, honey, guess what? You don't deserve them. Because there's nothing more that God loves more than he loves his kids. Yes. Imagine looking out at 99 or even 100, and a good shepherd will know, but are they the same 99? People filing in, people filing out, who cares? We had 100, we still got 100, awesome. But are they the same 100? You know, I have 4 kids. If they went missing and all of a sudden you just bought me 4 random kids, I would know. And it would not be the same. What does it matter? You had 4, you had another 4, who cares? It matters. Sure, I'll take another 4, God willing, but I want the original 4. Not one of them shall be missing. In this church, we go after lost things, whether they be caught up in the mess of offense, or they've been stolen and swept away through sin, or somebody else's carelessness. We go after lost sheep. A healthy church culture is one where numbers never replace names. Sadly, at a lot of conferences, people will, church conferences or leaders' conferences, they'll say, how many people in your church? Honestly, I would not have a clue, but I can tell you names. Yeah. I can tell you stories. Yeah. I can tell you testimonies of transformed lives. Yeah, numbers should never replace names. Abraham could have had a lot of excuses for not going after the rascal lot, but he did all the same. He was a shepherd negotiator. He negotiated from 50 down to 10 when God wanted to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. Amazing, huh? When was the last time we prayed for our city with the heart of a shepherd? So God, he has a conversation with Abraham. And he says to him, you know what? I've heard the cry from coming out of Sodom. They're wicked. They're debauched. I'm going to wipe them out. And I love Abraham's response. He wasn't like, smite them, almighty smiter. I make myself laugh sometimes. So instead, he has this, I just love the conversation. You want to go ahead and read it, where he's like, you know, Lord, about that wiping out Sodom and Gomorrah thing, I know I'm dust and ashes. Like, he actually says that. I know I'm like dust and ashes and, you know, worthless and all that kind of thing. However, what about 50? If you find 50 there that fear the Lord, will you spare it then? And God's like, yeah, if I find 50, I'll spare it. He's like thinking to himself, well, this is Sodom and Gomorrah we're talking about. Perhaps I should renegotiate. He's like, oh, you know, but Lord, what about if you only find 30? What about 30? Will you spare him then? And God's like, if there's 30, yes, all right, I'll spare him. And then he's thinking again. He's like, oh, shoot. I saw the news. It's not looking good. Yeah. Lord, what about 20? If we can find 20 God-fearing people in Sodom, will you spare it then? And God's like, yep, if you find 20. I think God was just like pumped that finally he had someone with the heart of a shepherd that was warfaring for the lives of real people. And then he finally gets God down to 10, and sadly they couldn't even find 10, which is a tragedy. However, the point of the story is, don't you love that shepherd's heart? Oh, for that heart in San Diego amongst God's church, where we're not so consumed with our own needs and thoughts that we're actually praying and interceding on behalf of the city and believing God to bring the lost and disenfranchised sheep back home. I want to tell you today that your good shepherd knows where to find you. Wow. And maybe you're here today and you're in church, but you're not really in church because you're carrying some wounds and some hurts. And I will agree with you. There have been some egregious abuses in God's house. But you know what? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's time to return to the shepherds. allow yourself to be shepherded, to be tended, to be protected, to be cared for, to be pastored, to be corrected when needed in God's house again.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.